Welcome, everybody, into the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I am Matt Trudell, and with me, like always...
Alex Baker. Yee-yee!
How are you doing today,
Alex? Doing good.
Doing good. Doing good. Enjoying life.
Enjoying life.
The weather has been really weird so far this week. And it's a short week. We have Memorial Day. Did you do anything for Memorial Day?
Nope, just hung out.
Did you grill some burgers and some dags?
Nah.
What did you do?
I didn't really do anything. I just hung out.
Okay. All right. Did your parents take you anywhere where they made you take pictures you didn't want to take?
No, not yet. That's going to happen soon, though.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. That's it, man.
I'm gonna be particularly depressed just for you. I'm just gonna have like the biggest frown on my face.
You guys need to like become friends with Alex Baker on Facebook. It is the funniest thing to ever happen in the history of humans.
Well, not that much, because all I do is just post rugby videos all the time.
No, but like when your parents take pictures and tag you in it, you look so not satisfied with life.
Yeah.
Good times. All right. So Nashville and Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things I want to talk about. First off, game one has already happened. Game two is happening tonight at 8 p.m. First, they're going to have two games in before
the NBA Finals
starts. NBA Finals even have a game. So I guess, do you want to talk about the game itself, game one, first, or do you want to talk about the incident that happened?
The goalie interference?
No, we'll go into that also.
What's the other incident? Was it the thing that got tossed on
the catfish? The catfish. Okay, so when I came up with these topics originally, the dude was being charged. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, for like disrupting a meeting or something.
I know, my favorite thing is possession of an instrument of crime. That was the best charge that he had. So for all y'all that don't know, because a lot of people don't like hockey, and that's fine. This guy with about 9 minutes left in the second period in Pittsburgh, which Pittsburgh Police Department is real crazy with their like their charging system, because the Darrell Revis thing was crazy too, where they were like terroristic threats and like... Penguins are up 3-0, and this 26-year-old who is from Tennessee went to Pittsburgh to watch game one, because when are the Nashville Predators ever in the Stanley Cup? And he threw a dead catfish onto the ice. And he was instantly arrested, taken, and they said that they were going to file, I think it was four charges. I'm trying to find...
It's just ridiculous.
The main one that I thought was hilarious was the possession of instrument of crime. What does that even mean?
How is a catfish that deadly? I mean, maybe if you hit him with it that enough, it cuts them, and maybe they get like, I don't know, salmonella or something.
But we're coming from now. Granted, I understand that he was on the road, right? But we're talking about a sport that has been completely fine.
With octopi, red wings.
They've been completely fine with
hats. Whenever there's hats. Patrick.
There's also, I believe, Nashville when they played the Ducks, they were throwing dead ducks onto the ice.
Yeah, well, even back when the Florida Panthers used to be good, that one year they threw dead rats on the rink.
I remember that.
Not dead rats; it was more toy rats, but.
But still, like this is a sport that for years and years and years has allowed you throwing things onto the ice during certain times. Mm-hmm. I understand that it's a pain in the butt, and I understand that he's on the road, but I mean, come on, man. An instrument of crime. That is like the most vaguest, like that's such a vague charge. That's like...
That should be like a name for a rock band or something.
Like, it's illegal to feed homeless people, so you give them a bucket of chicken. That's an instrument of crime.
Mm-hmm.
A bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. But I will tell you. So, we had this scenario where guess who got back into the game after this happened?
Preds.
Nashville. They ended up losing
5-3.
One was an empty net goal, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so the fourth goal was scored with like 3 minutes left in the game. And Pittsburgh kind of walks off. You want to talk about the goalie interference?
Yeah, because I think that play probably, because it was 3-0 at the beginning of the game, Penguins, and I think that play more than all really changed the outcome, because if that was Nashville was still remained tight, and then considering the comeback Nashville got on, I think the game would have been closer and they might have had a chance. But I think that I haven't seen the video in a while, but I wasn't sure if that really qualified.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, see, the NHL has had a bit of an interesting history with what they deem important or not. I mean, to me, the Brett Hull, Dallas Stars, that's not a goal, in my opinion, still to this day. He was in the crease. Back then, that was a rule.
Yeah. Of course, it's weird now because you're like, wait, that was a rule? People get score in the crease all the time now.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I get that that's kind of a hard zone to... I kind of prefer the rule the way it is now, which is crazy because there's a lot of NHL rules that I hate now that weren't around when we were younger. I hate the fact that the goalie can't go wherever he wants to play the puck. That drives me crazy. Behind the net is ridiculous. But
I used to love it back in the day. Hasek used to do this all the time, but when there wasn't that rule and the guy was on a breakaway and the goalie would just come straight out and challenge him and usually clear the puck or just take it away. Yep, you don't get that anymore.
Dude, Ron Hextall, Martin Brodeur, these were all really good.
Ed Belfour.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Ed Belfour. Yeah. Like, and here's my issue is when I played hockey when I was younger, I was a goalie for some time. Look what the NHL has done to the goaltender position. Just look at it. There will never be another Patrick Waugh or Martin Brodeur. Mm-mm. I mean, you look at it, the Caps, who have had really successful teams in the regular season over the past how long?
They change goalies every couple years.
They change goalies every couple years.
Holtby's been with them, what, 3 years?
Yeah, and before Holtby, it was Neuwirth.
Yeah.
And before Neuwirth, it was...
Russian guy, I forget his name. It was after Kolzig.
Yeah. I mean, they probably had like 10, 15 goalies after Kolzig. Yeah. Like, so I hate that, right? Because to me, I mean... One thing, and it's so funny because they still applaud these guys and then go crazy about how great goalies perform in the playoffs, right? Like, Jean-Sebastien Jaguar was the first one that I remember that was the man in the playoffs and then just gone.
Did it twice with them. 02, 03, and 07.
But yeah, look, Fleury, Fleury had fallen off.
This year, a lot of people say the reason the Preds have gotten so far is because of Pekka.
Pekka is a problem. That dude is a solid goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
And he might be one of the only ones. But, I mean, you think about it. Like, when you and I were growing up, right, you had goaltenders that were, like, solidified in their spot.
Hasek.
No one could mess with them. Hasek. Osgood.
Roy.
Roy. Kolzig. Brodeur.
Belfour.
I mean,
Cujo.
Curtis Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a bunch, right? And now, other than Pekka Rinne.
Yeah. You have somebody like a Tim Thomas who was big for like 2-3 years and then just disappeared. And I think you get that a lot now.
He kind of disappeared for a couple reasons. His political issue, speaking out politically, didn't help his career.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Because he was still pretty good when he just kind of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I hate that. I hate that. Like, this whole, you come in and play a couple years, and then you're gone, you know?
Well, if you see what the Wings have done with Jimmy Howard. I mean, he's been on the team for like 7-8 years now, and he's, while decent, he's never taken that level that a... he's never been to the level that an Osgood has been, or
well,
Vernon, or Hasek.
I don't think The problem is, and I tell people this all the time, the main problem with sports in the United States of America is they try to accommodate the casual fan instead of staying true to their diehards.
Yeah.
And what happened was, is they just, you had to destroy the goalie, right? Is because the goalie was kind of the anti-steroids movement, right? Where goalies were... There was 1-0, 2-0 games.
You wanted more high scoring.
And you want more high scoring because the casual fan
that's why you brought in the shootout.
So you brought in the shootout. Okay. You made goalie pads smaller.
Got rid of ties.
You got rid of ties. Made goalie pads smaller. Made the goal a little bit bigger. You weren't... goalies weren't allowed to play the puck outside of, you know, the trapezoid or whatever. You definitely changed the game for goalies. They made goalies a dime a dozen, kind of like the running back in the NFL.
Or even like a way that... corners have to can't be as aggressive as they were 15 years ago in the NFL.
Exactly.
It's all accommodating the offense. You know, it's the old saying, defense wins championships, but offense puts butts in seats.
But it's like, you know, if you saw a good goalie prospect coming out, it's like, let's grab that dude right away. Now it's like, we can get another goalie in the 48th round of the NHL draft, you know, or whatever. So that's my beef. I love playoff hockey. I'm going to go home. I work tonight, but I'll be home just in time for the puck drop. I'm going to watch it. I am hoping and praying so much that the Nashville Predators win.
Yeah, if they don't win, I think they're done. 2-0.
You never know, though. I agree with you for the most part, but they'll be going back to Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Nashville has just been so electric for them because I think they're kind of like partially... What? We have a hockey team, partially like they play hockey in Tennessee.
What are we going to do? Watch the Titans?
Yo.
Low blow.
Yeah, man. You know, Titans had a chance to win their division last year, Alex?
Yeah, you lost to Brock Osweiler. Hashtag Kelvin's number one quarterback.
Kelvin, man. Kelvin's got to get back in here so we can discuss things. I would love to see. He's been putting up a lot of posts on Facebook recently about the LeBron Jordan type deal and whatevs. But I'm watching tonight. And I'll tell you, especially like, you know, earlier in the season, if this would have been happening earlier in the season when the Orioles were rolling, I might be like, well, I'll flip back and forth. Tonight, I don't want to watch the Orioles. Kevin Gausman's on the mound.
Like me with the Tigers.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. It's hard. They finally won a game, you know, and we'll get into that shortly, but they finally won a game and they got beat last night. Like, all right. Anywho, NBA. You say that, but we actually just got to the point that everybody's been waiting for.
But it's the third year of the same thing.
True.
And seventh year in a row we've seen LeBron.
But
it's basically 50-50 every year. It's either LeBron or somebody else.
Aren't you a little like, so, you know, the first year, Golden State wins. Cool. The next year, Golden State's up 3-1. Blows it. They blow it completely. Right? Lose. Cavs win.
Yeah.
This is a rubber match.
We'll probably see him again next year.
Possibly. You're right. Possibly.
I don't know. I like parity. I don't want to see the same teams over and over again.
I agree. But
NBA is just anything but parity.
I like parity, but I also like... If you put up any other team in the East against Golden State or any other team in the West against Cleveland, that's probably a sweep.
That's a league problem. They haven't had enough competition from the other 30 teams to compete against them.
I hate to side with this man, but did you know Gilbert Arenas has been pretty outspoken on this and he talks about he's been really big on the topic of like there's only like a handful of teams in the NBA that actually want to go try and win a championship. Everybody else is there just collecting checks.
Mm-hmm. Or just be happy making the playoffs.
Yeah. Or some, and he even said some of them are just like, we don't need to make the playoffs. We got revenue sharing. You know, so it is one of those things that is interesting. But how do you fix that? How do you make an owner want to win?
Sometimes it might not even be the owners. Like, I'll even use the example of the Pistons. Like, that team, like, especially down the late of the season, they looked like they didn't even want to play. They looked like they just didn't care. And I think sometimes it's
the players just don't have enough motivation. I think it gets a little discouraging when you look at it and you're like, why, you know, what's the point of trying our hardest to be an eighth seed and then get bounced in four games?
Yeah, good point.
Especially when, you know, it's like, okay, there's playoff bonuses, but, like, when you're a dude that is wildly overpaid as it is, you know, who cares?
Drummond. Yeah.
I wouldn't even say Drummond. I was more thinking, who's your other boy?
Reggie Jackson. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one works a lot better.
That one was really bad. That's a bad contract. Oof. But you know what? That's what happens. And like, it's so funny because when I was younger, I was naive. I would say I was naive, right, where for the longest time, I was like, man, you got to always go pursue that championship. You pursue that championship. But if I could get a max contract, like if I was Gordon Hayward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm going to a team that is legitimate, has a legitimate chance at challenging either one of those two teams, which means either I'm going to Cleveland or I'm going to Golden State. I'm staying in Utah taking that max contract for a couple reasons. Are you ready for this? One, that man is like a god in Utah. He's the best basketball player in a predominantly white state. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be offensive here, but like,
diversifies the community.
We know what happens with Utah. Like, I mean, so he's this dude, right? Mm-hmm. He could get a max contract there. He could be god in Utah, right? Mm-hmm. Andre Kirilenko. Like, I'm not making up stuff here. I'm not trying to make it a thing that it isn't. I'm trying to just show you the light. You know what I'm saying? Sure. They had Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap, I thought, was the man. They still, AK-47, even when he was a bum on that team, they were a fan of. You know what I'm saying? Gordon Hayward could really make a legit situation out of that. And then, later in his career, when he gets to be, I don't know, Kyle Korver's age, he just goes and hops on the bench
of a really good team,
and he gets his chip that way.
Like a good dollar or something.
Cheat to win.
Yeah.
That's what the NBA is all about.
Oh, yeah.
Like an Iguodala, like a Kyle Korver, like a Juwan Howard, like a
Jefferson for the
a Shane Battier, Richard Jefferson. Yeah. I mean, we can insert a million different names here. They do it all the time.
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love is a little different. A little bit harsh. But yeah, like that's my thing. Is like, why go for the title? Especially like, all right, so like Kevin Durant had to go for the title, right? A guy like Russell Westbrook will have to go for the title. A guy like Chris Paul will have to go to the title. Gordon Hayward, who's just going to be a really good player in this era, who cares? No one's going to be like Gordon Hayward, top 50 mm-hmm. basketball player of all time.
I think one thing you're also talking about, at least Gordon Hayward, at least he's on the Jazz. The Jazz are at the very least a decent team. They probably won't go anywhere, but at least they're going to be in the playoffs.
Like, well, I think, if you look, they turned around their team. Their team was terrible the year before.
And there's also another problem, I think, with there's just teams that there is just no turning around, like the Sacramento Kings, like the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, I can't even remember the last time those two were in the playoffs.
See,
it's been over a decade.
Now,
I think that's the thing. You get these teams where just have been bad for so many years and have done nothing.
I don't want to defend these teams, per se. But Sacramento's in a pretty crappy situation.
Their owner's terrible.
Well, their owner's terrible. The city really doesn't have the money to give them a new facility. Their owner's terrible. They used to have really good owners. If you remember early 2000s.
Yeah, they were the top.
But it's just that those two particular areas are not really conducive to Sacramento, maybe. You might be able to sell some players coming to play at Sacramento if you get a better owner in there because it's still Cali.
Yeah.
But, like, do you want to play in Minnesota?
Where everybody cares about Vikings and hockey?
The Golden Gophers are higher than the Timberwolves. But not only that, but, like, just think about, like, weather-wise and stuff. Like, they play in the winter, man. Like,
yeah. So, and that's, that's another point is sometimes the attendance. With the lower teams or the middle-of-the-road teams, attendance isn't going to be big for games unless, you know, LeBron's coming to town or Westbrook or whatever.
Like, you look at Milwaukee, right? Who's a pretty talented team, mm-hmm. right? The only thing they got, there's two things that they have to go into free agency with. We got Giannis, and we got Jason Kidd. Yeah. Other than that, they're not going to be like, hey, do you like our casinos? You know, mm-hmm. the Brewers are here, you know?
Kareem played here in the 70s.
Exactly. No, they're not going to do that. And especially, like, you know how you say Kareem played there in the 70s. The difference with that is that it was a different era of athlete. New age athletes, mm-hmm. they want to be in the spot, you know?
Yeah, they want Wade. It started with Jordan. They all want that endorsement deal.
Yeah. Dwayne Wade wasn't going to go anywhere else other than a big market. He went home but he's from Chicago. Like, and that, and Chicago's a big market. If that man was from Biloxi, Mississippi, or if that man was from Memphis, Tennessee, he wasn't going to be a Grizzly. Why?
Yeah.
He wants to go to New York. He wants to stay in Miami. He wants to go to Chicago. He wants to go to LA. One of those situations. So I guess, you know, to me, we could use cutting a couple teams, right?
Yeah.
But what teams are we going to cut? I think Sacramento.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, but the thing is that the problem with that is that, okay, California, massive state, right? And if you
got already got a bunch of teams there already.
Yeah, well, okay, they have Golden State.
The two LAs.
Two LAs and Sacramento, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess you could get rid of Sacramento. All right, so in that case, that drops you down to 29 teams. What gets you to 28?
Like, maybe the Timberwolves.
That's a West.
The Pelicans, they've never really been that great. I mean, they have Anthony Davis, but DeMarcus Cousins. But
okay, but then that's another West team. You know what I'm saying? So are you going to reshuffle up the East-West thing, or what East team are you going to get rid of?
Maybe the Timberwolves?
They're a West team.
Oh, they are West. I forgot.
Here, I'll pull it up for you so you can.
All right, okay, I can see it there.
All right, so, I mean, you're looking at, you're not going to get rid of Brooklyn. You're not going to get rid of Philly. So you're talking about the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I could get rid of them. They haven't been relevant since Howard was on the team.
See, I feel like I'd get rid of the Charlotte Hornets before I'd get rid of the Orlando Magic, but then that's how you start a riot. Because they already lost a team.
Yeah, twice.
Twice.
Well, of course, nobody cares about the Bobcats.
You're not getting rid of Philly. You know, and that's the problem is, like, if you look at it, the Brooklyn Nets, they just moved to Brooklyn. The NBA is not letting that happen, right? Philly is still a relatively big market.
But they're terrible.
They're terrible. But that's because their owners know that they can just make bread.
And that's another thing. The owners. Like you said, the owner for Sacramento's terrible. The owner for the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks have been awful forever.
I mean, if you want to look at...
I think owners have also got to get their crap together.
If you want to look at teams that you could get rid of, right?
About the, like, Hawks. I mean, yeah, they're in the playoffs every year, but they always get bumped in the first round every year.
Well, but then you'd have to make an argument for Cleveland. I understand that they have LeBron, but it's Ohio.
No, because they have LeBron and they have... I mean, okay, maybe if he leaves, but I think he's left a legacy there. I mean, you're not going to get rid of the defending NBA champion.
No, I get that. I get that. I'm just saying, like, if we're looking at, you know, if we're consolidating a league, right, you want to get rid of the place that is not going to hit you the hardest, right? And, okay, maybe we'll wait till LeBron leaves and then we'll can Cleveland. But you look at it, you're going to get rid of Orlando. You're going to get rid of Charlotte. You're going to get rid of... I don't even know if you could do Indiana because Indiana is a big basketball state.
Yeah, that's like the biggest. They would riot if you got rid of them.
So then you're talking maybe Atlanta. And then next on that list, I would say, is Cleveland, man, because Boston's a major market.
Cleveland is a big market. I mean, they have every except a hockey team.
Yeah, but like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they sell their like football tickets for like $2.
Well, that's because of the Browns.
Yeah, well, hey, Cleveland used to be that way. Cleveland was that way before LeBron. He came, they were good. He left, they were bottom of the league, and then he came back. Like, if you think that Cleveland's going to be a really good team when he leaves.
No, but I'm just saying, like.
And then in the West, you know, you're sitting there and you're talking, I don't think you're going to get rid of Phoenix. I don't think you're going to get rid of Los Angeles. You're talking Minnesota. You're talking Sacramento. I mean, maybe New Orleans, but I don't think they're going to do Nuggets? That. Denver Nuggets, like, they got a decent fan base.
They're really?
Not, I mean, they're not. I always
figured the Avs and the Broncos were bigger there.
I feel like the Avs are behind them now. And the Rockies are in first place now, but I really feel like, and I don't know if it's changed since Carmelo was there, but I just remember like what. Like,
they haven't been much since Carmelo's left, and even then they would get bumped in the first round every year.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's a lot because of Carmelo. And also, like, they don't have a team that necessarily. They get a lot of good young talent, and then they either leave or they get traded away, or, you know, they have a lot of dysfunctional issues. I just don't know which teams you're going to get rid of, man.
Maybe just, like I said, rearrange the conferences, do what NHL did so it's not just regional.
The problem is, all right, so then let's look at it on a rearranging status, right? Anybody in the Western time zone, you can't bring them to the East and vice versa.
So,
so you'd have to reshuffle the central time zone people.
Yeah.
So that puts you at, you know, any of the Texas teams can move. I think that puts you at New Orleans can move. Memphis can move. You know, but there's not really many. And then when you're looking at it, at Chicago, I believe, is old Central time, right?
Yeah, they're Central.
That means Milwaukee. I don't know how we fix this. Because the problem is that the NBA is making a buku amount of bucks. And the other problem is the casual fan doesn't care that we see a terrible. See,
diehard
basketball fans are going to watch basketball during the regular season, regardless. They're going to watch TNT, they're going to watch ESPN, they're going to do all that, right? And then the casual fans are only going to be there for the finals anyways. And this works. This works for the casual sports
fans. Because they get what they want.
They don't care about us, Alex. That's the problem.
They don't want a good product as long as the same two teams.
Because at the end of the day, even though you and I, who are really good basketball fans, really sit back and appreciate teams like the Dallas Mavericks that won the championship, and the Pistons that won the championship, most people in the history of basketball,
they want to see the big superstars.
They want to see the Celtics. They want to see the Lakers. They want to see LeBron. They want to see, you know, now Warriors. Golden State, because they got this powerful team. Like, that's all they care about. They don't care. And that's the problem. Well, I argue with people all the time. That's the problem.
But I think the whole thing about NBA being a superstar league, it's not like that. This is just happening. The 90s, you had Jordan win it every year almost.
Yeah, but he had a good team around him.
But still, he was Jordan.
I mean, yeah.
Big, giant superstar that everybody wanted to see in the finals. Even in the 80s, if nowadays it's Cavs, Warriors, in the 80s it was Lakers, Celtics nearly every year.
Yeah, but you also had, I mean, if you look at it, you know, back in the 90s, there were teams also. Like, good there point, was yeah. Jordan,
and they played
but there was the Bad
then.
Boys, there was the Rockets.
Yeah, Barkley.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Ewing and the Knicks who blow it every year.
Yeah, well, they're the Knicks. That's a team they should get rid of, but they're never leaving.
Yeah.
They're never leaving.
No, they're never going to leave New York.
No New York team is ever going to leave the league.
Yeah.
Straight up. I mean, the Knicks are doo-doo every year, and their fans are still like, this is our year. They're Redskins fans. All right.
Both have a terrible owner, James Dolan and Dan Snyder.
Oh, yeah. Dan Snyder's a heck of a businessman. He's just a terrible football owner.
How's he a good businessman?
How's he a good businessman?
Yeah.
Look up what he owns.
Okay, I'll have to look it up.
Look how smart he is. He owns the Redskins. He put half of it. He owns Johnny Rockets. Johnny Rockets is up in FedEx Field. He owns the parking.
He's never considered Dan Snyder a good businessman.
Considered him a good NFL owner. There's a difference.
All right.
The Washington Redskins are one of the more valuable teams in the NFL, and they suck all the time, more often than they don't. They suck.
Terrible free agent signings.
Same thing with Cowboys. Jerry Jones. People think of him as a terrible owner. Those two are the two most valuable NFL franchises. Why? Because they're good at business. They're just terrible football owners. That's the difference.
But isn't that kind of bad business?
Peter Angelos is a phenomenal businessman. Right?
But running a football team is the business. That's the main business you're
No. That's just putting
a valuable product,
a royalty check. That's
for the people to consume.
Because they're gonna sell tickets. There's an entertainment dollar in this. Like baseball, Orioles fans, diehard baseball fans, regardless if the Orioles are sucking or not, are going to go to Orioles games every year.
That's because it's Camden Yards and it's such
exactly great businessman. Like he made it. Who cares what I put on the field? You're still going to show up. The Masson deal? Where he gets sued every year by the Nationals because of how bad he got over on them on that? Great businessman. Terrible owner.
Okay.
But that's the thing is, like, they don't care about that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they're more concerned with money than a good product.
Exactly. Not everybody's Mark Cuban, where Mark Cuban, like, not only owns the team, but he wants a chip. Now look at what happened. Mark Cuban got that chip.
And then he just turned into a celebrity.
And he was a celebrity beforehand. But he got that chip, right? Do you see him at Mavericks games or doing all that stuff as much anymore? He got the chip. All right. I became an owner. I got this. Adios, amigos. You know what I'm saying? End rant. Keys to this series, NBA Finals. What's your key?
They got to work on containing LeBron, because LeBron last year, especially in Game 7, like took control of that game and said, we're winning this. He got the blocks. He just... Like, I remember watching even earlier in his career when game five against the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals in 07 when they went to the finals that year, lost to the Spurs. He dominated that game in overtime. He can do that. That's what makes him one of the greatest. If he does that again, you're done. But just if you can do that, you got him.
All right. So then what's the keys for Cleveland?
Oh, it's probably just containing the three. We know how much Golden State likes to shoot the three ball and how they have nearly everybody on that team can shoot.
Well, I kind of disagree with you on both of those.
Okay.
I think hands down the key to Golden State and what they need to do to beat the Cavs is LeBron's going to do what LeBron's going to do. You got to make sure Kyrie doesn't completely embarrass the Steph matchup. They need to be relatively even.
Okay.
And you need to minimize how many games Kevin Love goes off. Kevin Love is a lot better than he was last year. This has been his best year as a Cav. And I think if you minimize him having a couple really good games, but I think the Kyrie-Steph matchup is the most important. Kyrie embarrassed Steph last year. Steph needs to have a break when he comes down on the defensive end, and he needs to be covering somebody else. And whoever they put against Kyrie needs to make sure Kyrie does not outscore or outplay Steph Curry. That's my number one. That's for the key for Golden State. The key for the Cleveland Cavaliers is how they handle Kevin Durant. That's the difference in this series for them. They know what they're going to get from Draymond. They pretty much know what they're going to get from Klay. and Steph.
Durant's new to the party.
Durant's new to the party, and he brings a different... He brings an added element to their defense. I mean, their offense. Their offense used to be pretty much just three-pointers and, you know, cleaning up around the basket. Now he can run ISO. He can hit mid-range. He can hit the three. That is a key. They need to shut him down. That's Cleveland, in my opinion. Shut Kevin Durant down.
Okay.
How long does it go?
I'll say it goes 6 or 7.
Who wins?
I'll say Golden State. They get payback for last year.
All right, so Golden State in 6 or 7. What do you guys say?
Golden State in 6.
In 6. Golden State in 6. I think Golden State's going to do it in 5.
Really?
I do.
You think it's more just motivation for their blow last year?
I guess I want to do a caveat, right? Because, all right, so here's my thing. I think you're more right, where Golden State will win in 6. I think LeBron is good enough where he's going to make sure they win one game, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm leaning towards Golden State in 5. My only thing is the NBA would really like it to go 6 or 7.
So you think the...
So if the referees Tim play Donahue's a role in the game... The world, yeah. You know, I'm just saying, if they play a role in it, it's going 6. But if they don't play a role in it, it's going 5. It could go 4 if there wasn't a LeBron factor. I think LeBron can will them to one win.
Gotcha.
And the refs can do it to the second win. But I do not see...
Are you saying that the NBA is crooked?
I'm saying that all sports like to have the best possible situations for ratings.
I don't know where you're what you're coming from. I don't get it at all.
You know? That's all I'll say. I'm just... You know? Come on, man.
Refs are completely fair and honest.
Yeah. Ayesha Curry was everybody's favorite person in the whole wide world until she spit that reel.
Yeah.
And now where's she at? They silenced her. She knew. You said, like, it's like, how do you allow hand checking? And then one game, it's like, no.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? It's the same refs through the whole series.
Still don't know what you're saying.
I'm just saying. It's probably why I'll never get a mainstream sports talk.
Hey, we're
deal.
Good here. We're so obscure.
Hey, I'm fine with it. All right. MLB.
Both our teams suck, but yours suck a little bit less.
So the Orioles have lost 14 out of their last 18. They
started
with us 7 in a row, and then they beat the Yankees the other night, and then they just got obliterated last night. I don't want to sit here and say... Like, in no way in the beginning of the season was I sitting here like, oh yeah, World Series, right? But I was very impressed with the way the Orioles were playing. And they say, you know, wait till you get to June, then you'll know what kind of team you have. I still don't know what kind of team we have. I feel like we're somewhere in the middle of what happened in April and what happened in May. Mm-hmm. But what happened in May was not good. And it's more recent, so... We got to get Zach Britton back. Manny Machado has to stop trying to hit every ball for a home run. Chris Davis needs to get a better eye at the plate.
How's Castillo been doing for you?
He's been amazing.
Yeah, because I remember he... I
Nate,
the Tigers
where you at? You want to sit here and talk about Matt Wieters and all his stats this year, but where's my man Wellington Castillo getting the love from? And, yeah, he was injured, right? But he's batting over 300. He's killing it, man. He's killing it.
So at least you got that to fall back on. We have nothing to fall back on.
Dude, at least you have that to fall back on. Like, that's not what we want to fall back on, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, well, Wellington Castillo, who we signed on a one-year contract, is doing really good. Yeah, no. Look at this. Let's look at my man Welly. Where you at, Welly?
He's at the fourth one.
Oh, I see him.
Yeah.
So he's only played 29 games because due to injury and whatnot. But he's batting .317, 4 home runs, 17 RBIs with a .339 OBP.
It's not bad.
Matt Wieters. I mean, there are definitely some positives to what's going on in... But recently, it's been rough, man. I cannot lie to you, man. Like, it's been really hard to watch their games. It's been really hard to...
Yeah, at least he had a good hot start at the beginning of the year. We have nothing. We're four games below 500 and dropping fast.
Four games below 500. So Matt Wieters has played 41 games. This is for you, Nathan. He always says I send subliminal shots.
Did Wieters get roughed up in that brawl?
I don't know.
Okay.
He's probably cowering. 274.
He probably threw a punch and it was about to land, but it just died just short of the chin.
Look how comparable this is. 274, 4 home runs, 17 RBIs. 342 OBP. So, slightly better OBP, same as home run, same as RBI, less of an average. So they're pretty much the same guy. The only difference is that Matt Wieters cried like a little baby and got $16 million. And Wellington Castillo said, I'm not worth that much. He's a good man. At this point, I do think the Orioles are better than they're playing. But at the same time, they're not going to playoffs.
They're second to last in division, right?
I think they're only third. They're third, yeah. Okay. They were. I mean, they're right there. If you look at it, I mean, they're third, okay. 4.5 games back from the Yankees, which they blew. They're only a half game better than the Rays, and they're only two games better than Toronto, which Toronto had a terrible start. I mean, this is... Like, is Zach Britton really hurting us that bad? Well, the thing is, pitching, yes, has struggled. But, you know, you just got a bunch of bats out here that just...
Just like
Manny Machado, all he wants to do is hit home runs this year. And it's like, you're not that dude. Like, Chris Davis, he pretty much just hits home runs. But he's swinging at anything. Anything. If it is thrown in his direction, he's swinging at it. Even if it's going to hit him in his hip, it's crazy to me. And
one guy can do that and get away with it. Laddie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but I can't sit here and tell you that I am a and I understand it's a week by week thing. And the sky is falling, you know, sky's falling 1 week, it's looking up the next week. But I'll sit here and tell you this. The Orioles broke that 7-game losing streak, right? By winning a 1-run game where they had a quality start from their pitcher and Brad Brock came in and shut it down in the ninth. And then if that's not supposed to turn over the, like, oh my gosh, not only did we win a game, we won a close game, our bats are still struggling, but we still found a way to win.
And then the next game they got torched.
And the next game they got thrashed. It was 4-0 before I even thought to look at what the score was last night. And then it was 8-0. And then I see fans in there losing their poop over the fact that they got 1 run on the board. They're like in the stadium like, wow. And I'm like, are you freaking serious?
That sounds like the Tigers. This is a lot like the Tigers.
Let's talk about your Tigers real quick.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at these fellers.
These ballers.
Ballers. Balling. So you guys...
24-26.
28. You're only 4 games out of your division.
Oh, we've been dropping fast. We complain a lot about the bullpen and make fun of them, but outside of Michael Fulmer, no one in that rotation has been any good. And then the bats have been terrible, or at least inconsistent.
All right, let's pull it up. You're leading. Victor Martinez has a leading batting average.
263. Yeah.
A scope is 274, and he's our leading guy because Castillo doesn't have enough qualified at-bats. Home runs, Justin Upton. RBIs, Victor Martinez. Miggy with OBP. What's going on with Miggy?
He's been injured this year. He's missed quite a few games due to injury. And that's been a kind of a growing thing from the last few years. He's missed games due to injury.
So, are you saying that Detroit has no chance at the playoffs?
Unless something changes. I mean, the last 3 years, we've all made fun of how bad the bullpen is. It's been a running joke. Oh, they suck. But they've actually have been the least of our problems this year. They were bad early on, but so far they've mellowed down.
Yeah.
It's been the rotation, which has been a problem the last 3 years. Verlander's not the guy he used to be. He's struggled a lot this year. Fulmer's been great, but he's only one guy. And then Zimmerman has been an awful signing for us. And then Norris.
He struggled last night, didn't he? Was he on the mound last
night? No, he wasn't on the mound last night. Actually, Verlander was on last night, and he looked great.
Okay.
He won one ball, but we got shut out 1-0.
Oh.
But it's been a disaster this year. It's not been good.
Yeah. All right, so Memorial Day. Did you happen? And it's crazy because, I mean, I watched the Orioles game. That was the game that they won. Mm-hmm. And then followed after that on ESPN was San Fran and the Nets. Scratch that. It was Kansas City, Detroit, which was right after that, and then San Fran and the Nets.
I think I watched a little bit of it. It was a bad pitching performance, so I lost my patience.
So I didn't watch really any of either of those games,
mm-hmm.
but I was in my kitchen, and someone was watching TV in the living room, and I just looked out, and all of a sudden I see all these people like crowded around, and like it's a full-fledged like shoving contest. I'm like, oh yay, baseball brawl, yeah. I'm like, oh, baseball brawl, you know, a bunch of shoving, nothing happens. But I'm like, let me just sit here and wait.
Maybe the fight will get interesting.
I was like, well, let me just sit here and see the replay to see if anything did happen.
Jeff Samardzija gave his own guy a concussion.
Dude, did you see that?
Yeah.
I was trying to tell people, like, he accidentally knocked his man out. He had the best punch of the whole fight.
Yeah, it was an accidental one.
So, Bryce Harper, and I want to go somewhat into detail about this because I think it's a little ridiculous. So Bryce Harper hit two home runs in 2014 ALDS against Hunter Strickland. A series that, because we know the Nats suck in the playoffs like every other DC team.
And it's an even numbered year, so you know the Giants won it.
The Giants won that series.
Yeah.
But for some odd reason, Hunter Strickland felt some way about the way Bryce Harper handled himself 3 years ago in the playoffs.
Quote-unquote unwritten rules of baseball.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, I'm tying my shoes. They're loose.
I thought we're supposed to be professionals.
I don't think they can really hear what's going on. I know you can, and you're looking at me like, what the heck? But anyways, so he feels some sort of way. So the first pitch...
Hits him in the back.
Hits him in the hip.
Tip.
And it popped, dude. It was like... I'm going to throw this as hard as I can right at your hip. It was a perfect pitch. Like, he hit his spot.
Perfect pitch.
He hit his spot. I'm telling mm-hmm. you. I mean, like, you can't tell me. He hit him dead center of the hip. So, Bryce Harper runs out there. I personally would like to believe this man, Bryce Harper, is an outfielder with a relatively accurate arm.
Mm-hmm.
So I choose to believe that he purposely missed Hunter Strickland with the helmet because he knew he'd get suspended like 1,000 times more.
That's okay.
Because he was out there looking like 50 Cent with the opening pitch. You know what I'm saying?
With the fists.
Yeah. So I personally believe he purposely missed the helmet throw.
What if he didn't?
Then that's terrible, dude. You've never thrown a helmet before? You got to frisbee it, dude. Kids out there. So, no.
Yes, yes. If you're going to go at it.
If you're good at it, yeah, man, do it right. So, yeah, he wings it at the dude, misses completely. Like, he was more close to hitting the first baseman. And then they get a little fisticuffs going. So what happens is Hunter Strickland hits Bryce Harper first with kind of like a open hand paw. And then Bryce Harper comes back, and his hand kind of gets hit, so it takes a little of the, like, speed off of it, but he then ends up clocking Hunter Strickland. And in comes Jeff Samardzija out the corner, just trying to break it up, but he ends up just knocking out Hunter Strickland with his hand. It's the most overlooked punch in the history. Like I would compare his punch and Rougned Odor's to similar spots. Definitely the best brawl in the MLB so far this year.
Yeah. There was actually one that came out this week earlier. It was in a minor league game. Big brawl. Guy took a baseball and threw it as hard as he can, like a fastball, at one of the other opposing players, like at point-blank range.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's minor league, so it doesn't count.
But you don't see that in the majors.
Yeah.
We need to see more people throw baseballs.
You know, make American baseball fight again.
Yeah. Have him pull a Dumb and Young and charge at him with a baseball bat.
Or remember Milton Bradley when he threw a chair at a fan?
Yep.
Oh, my man Milton Bradley.
Or when he got
named after the famous toy company.
Yeah. Or when he got into an argument with the umpire in his own first base coach body slammed him to the ground and tore his ACL.
Yeah. Dude, remember when I think this was in the minor leagues too, when the dude wanted to attack the pitcher, but he knew the catcher was going to stop him, so he delivered the sweet chin
that
music.
That was awesome.
He gave him the Shawn Michaels treatment. Yeah, man. All right. So, yeah, out of that comes Strickland gets suspended 6 games, which is hokum, and Harper gets suspended 4 games. To me, the only person that he initiated that whole thing was Hunter Strickland. He deserves at least
and
double.
And so he just misses one start, really.
Well, he's not a starter. He's a relief pitcher.
Oh, he's a relief
pitcher. So, I mean, in theory, he could – he misses 4 out of 6 nights if they use him like that. But he's a middle reliever.
So
you're not using him that much. He needed to be suspended at least 8 games because I'm telling you, people can hate on Bryce Harper all they want. What Bryce Harper did was, in my opinion, warranted. You're still – like, we can't live in a world where someone's still being petty off of something that happened 3 years ago.
That's always been baseball with these unwritten –
That's what happened with Yordano Ventura, RIP. But him and Manny had been beefing for, like, 8 years, and he threw at Manny's head. And Manny was like, F this. I'm going to go try and kill this guy. Like, sometimes you need to police your own because clearly the front office isn't
doing it. It's always been baseball's unwritten rules. Like, we hit – you hit one of our guys, or we think for some reason you're not acting professionally, I'm going to throw at you.
But, like, you're mad at someone hitting 2 home runs off of you in a series that you won and then went to win the World Series?
He probably thought for some reason he was showboating or not acting professionally when he was trotting around the base pass when he hit his home run. It's always what happens.
Okay, but
I'm not saying I like it.
You know how you make
it.
Bryce Harper feel bad about that scenario? Congratulations, you hit 2 home runs off of me. Where'd it get you? The beach. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where'd it get me? A ring. Like, come on, man. Like,
I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying it's always been what baseball.
I get what you're saying, but it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Pedroia gets injured, right? Mm-hmm. Did you see this?
What happened?
He got injured. Trying to slide into a base. He hurt his wrist. But the crazy thing about it is, so he was sliding, but the defensive player was sliding too. It was at first base.
Yeah.
So he's sliding head first. The defensive player comes and slides and ends up like stomping on his wrist.
Yeah.
Pedroia walks off. No issues. No, apparently that wasn't a dirty slide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Manny Machado is, and it's just like, that's the other stuff. Is like, why are you reading into things that it's not? I don't know. A couple quick things real quick in the NFL. So a couple big time players, Odell Beckham is one of them, skipped OTAs. Do you think it's a big deal when a player skips OTAs?
They do that all the time.
Yes. Here's my issue though, right? Did you see Kelvin Benjamin?
No, what did he do?
He's like Jamarcus Russell big. You didn't see this?
No.
Dude, I'll find
somebody
you
somebody else was getting fat too, wasn't it? Weren't they? I read somebody else, some NFL player was getting fat. Maybe it was Kelvin Benjamin.
It wouldn't surprise me. So here's my thing, okay? If you're looking at it like this, Odell Beckham, he's got a new co-wide receiver in the name of Brandon Marshall. Also, if you look back at the last time we saw him play a football game, which was against the Green Bay Packers in a big playoff game, he dropped two big passes, two touchdown passes. So to me, I understand that you don't necessarily want to be there, but you just signed this big Nike deal. Go there. Just show up. It's shorts. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's my issue. There are plenty of guys that you could see. Like, Ray Lewis later in his career, let's not get him up there. Unless he's out of shape. Then if he's out of shape, Terrell Suggs. Terrell Suggs should be going to OTAs because he historically shows up out of shape in training camp. But I feel like if you had a rough ending to your season, or just the fact that you're young and you're getting paid a stupid amount of money to play a sport, go to OTAs, man.
Well, it's not like they don't... Like,
it's not grueling.
Yeah, but it's not like they don't train in the offseason.
Calvin Benjamin clearly didn't. Okay. But there's also something to be said for, like, there's a big difference between Odell Beckham, and this is true, catching passes from Johnny Manziel versus him catching passes from Eli.
Odell Beckham went to LSU.
Yeah, but he's been working out with Johnny Manziel in the offseason.
Oh, okay.
He's been running routes, catching passes from Johnny Manziel versus Eli Manning. And my thing is, you know, people complain around here about how Joe Flacco doesn't work out with his wide receivers in the offseason. Like, if you want to get on page with somebody, you should go out and get on page with them. That's my feelings. I feel like...
It's not a big deal. I mean, it's real. At least it's really early. I mean, training camp's not even for another 2 months.
True. But let's say, you know...
If they don't show up for training camp, then it's time for concern.
The other thing is, you get paid millions of dollars, right? Like, to play a game. To me, I just feel like I'd be at all those. Are they annoying? Yeah. If I live in Louisiana in the offseason, I got to go to New Jersey. But boo freaking who? This is the life you chose. You know what I'm saying? You make a lot of money. You just signed a big Nike deal. Like, I just feel like he needed to be there. And like I said, Ray Lewis, where you know Ray Lewis in the offseason is putting himself through a more rigorous thing than OTAs can do, I understand that, right? But when you show up and they completely laid an egg against the Packers, and you showed up and you dropped two major bombs, just show up to OTAs, man.
Maybe
Kelvin Benjamin clearly needs OTAs. That's crazy. I got to show you this picture.
You got to show me it.
And then do you think Marshawn Lynch will come back and be a successful running back?
It is official, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's for a guy, big bruiser guy like him, there's always room, and he's going to fit well in Oakland.
I agree with you. I think
is it just a one-year thing?
I don't know. I agree with you. I think, oh, really? You're going to give me that picture? Look at that man. I do think that he will be pretty solid. I will be interested to see if they need somebody else, you know, or will he be able to... If he's been training in the offseason and pulling a Carson Palmer... then I think it will be really good for him. If he's just been sitting there eating Skittles, yeah. It might be hard for him to come back into league. I don't know. That's me. Let's see fat Kelvin Benjamin. There
Who's
he is.
Who's that? Yeah, that's totally him.
No, I'm joking.
What's that from anyway?
I don't know. I don't know at all. Look at that gut, yo.
He's no Jared Lorenzen.
Was that that was the dude who used to be the backup quarterback for the Giants?
He's like really, really fat.
And then he went to the AFL and got even bigger.
Yeah, he's like even bigger than a lineman.
Yeah, man. Jared Lorenzen. Who was the other backup? They had another guy.
Who's that? On the left.
Are you serious? Is there something to be worried about Kevin Benjamin though, man? Like they put him side by side. He's chunky, dude, for a wide receiver.
Okay, I don't know. Who is that other guy?
I don't know.
It's like I'd be from a movie or something.
We have run out of time. Alex, is there anything else you would like to say to the fans out there?
No.
All right. So you said Golden State in six. Mm-hmm. Did you say Nashville? Or
I don't remember what I said for Nashville.
All right, pick it real quick.
I'll say Pens in six.
I'm going Nashville in seven. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I've been Matt Trudell.
Alex Baker.
And until next week, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.